All right, thank you for leading the music, Brother Danny. It's hard not to reminisce. Remember all the many years you've been leading, and I appreciate you for all those years of service. I did receive a text from Dr. Q here just shortly ago, and he said I could share it with the church family, so why don't I do that real quick? I'm not interpreting any message. I'm just going to read it as he sent it. Good morning. We drove about 1,000 miles on Thursday and another 1,000 miles on Friday, and arrived in Salt Lake City on Friday at about 8 p.m. As we drove through the mountains in Wyoming, we encountered snow blowing horizontally across the road, driven by high winds. We are both doing well, and my hip is not bothering me. Yesterday, we visited with the delightful and godly couple we are staying with. We also visited and prayed with a 91-year-old lady who is my pastor's wife. Her life expectancy is only 3 to 5 days. Her 70-year-old son was with her. Just before we saw this dear lady, we were able to speak by phone with her 68-year-old daughter in Los Angeles. I first met this lady when I was 17 and she was 25. The son and the daughter were ring bearer and flower girl in my wedding on July 10, 1963. We then visited a lady with whose family we really enjoyed when we lived in Salt Lake in 2007 to 2010. Three of her seven children were with her, but her husband was at work. They live way up on a mountain. Arlita has really enjoyed the mountains in Utah. It was a joy for everyone to meet Arlita and renew things with me. Arlita likewise enjoyed them. This morning at 11, I am preaching in their morning service where we will meet some more good friends. Tomorrow morning, we will drive back to Colorado where we will meet with a former student and his wife. We are praying for you and the entire church. Have a blessed day. Today, Arlita and I are observing the 18th anniversary of our marriage, and what a delightful marriage it has been for both of us. You are welcome to share this with the congregation, which I did. So there's your message from the pastor. Apparently all is well. I cannot imagine traveling 1,000 miles a day, even in the shape that I am in. So thankful for the Lord blessing their trip. Do remember them in prayer. Luke chapter 2 is where we'll be this morning. Luke chapter 2, we're not covering the entirety of the chapter, nor are we dealing with the birth of Jesus Christ. I know that's probably what comes to mind when we think of Luke chapter 2, but we're going to be in the latter portion, verses 43 through 46 this morning. So once we get turned there, I'll open with a word of prayer. And we'll see what's in this text for us this morning. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thankful for this opportunity. We're thankful for this Sunday. Also thankful for your protection, especially with the windy conditions that we were experiencing here in this area. Just pray that you continue to bless our pastor and his wife on this long journey. Pray that it will be a rejuvenating time, an encouraging time, making these contacts with folks. For some, most likely the last time before you call them to heaven, where we will all be together forever and ever. Look forward to that day. Pray that you'll give us guidance this morning as we open your scriptures again. Pray that you'll give us the insight that we need to live more and more for you and appreciate you as our Savior, our Creator, and our Sustainer. Ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to draw our attention to a very serious moment in the life of Joseph and Mary. It's found in Luke chapter 2, and it lists out some details involving their departure from the Lord Jesus Christ when he was only 12 years old. Now, this in itself, I think, should grab our attention because Mary and Joseph were the ones entrusted with the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet they departed from him and were without him for about 3 or 4 days. This passage is not just about them, because what happened to them could easily happen to any of us and all of us. We can be in close proximity with Christ. We can be involved in religious activities, as we'll see in the text, and yet we can lose conscious fellowship with him. I think that's a deception that many have when they go into a good environment. Maybe it's a good church. Maybe it's a Bible school where the Bible is regularly taught and taught well, accurately. And there are chapel services and there are prayer services and devotionals. And despite all these many, many good things, fellowship can still be lost with Jesus. Joseph and Mary were not unbelievers. They were God's people. And this passage is not about losing salvation. I want to be very clear. This is about losing fellowship, losing that conscious presence of Jesus Christ in our daily walk. And I believe this passage is going to emphasize to us how easily that fellowship can be lost, why it happens, and what it costs us when it does happen. Let's read the text, Luke 2:43 through 46. And when they had fulfilled the days of what? The days of the Passover celebration. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, that's Joseph and Mary, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. The first thing I'd like us to notice here in verse 43 is the record given to us about the departure. There are two important details here. Notice the timing with me. What was the environment here? The timing of this departure. It was one of the most celebrated religious observances that the Jewish people knew. The Passover. This was a situation where the religious observance had concluded and it was time to return. The departure did not happen in Jerusalem where this celebration was being held. It happened after and as they were returning. In other words, this separation of Jesus as a young lad from Mary and Joseph occurred while Mary and Joseph are journeying away from Jerusalem. They are going about in that natural progression, that walk of life. In other words, this was a normal responsibility. They were visiting Jerusalem for this Passover feast, which has now concluded and it is time to go home. But the departure, the separation of Jesus from Mary and Joseph occurred right after a very important meeting of worship. That's what was occurring in the Passover. We'll not go through all the details. But this time of the Passover was a very inspiring time. Perhaps it would have been very exciting, rejuvenating, if you will, what a Sunday service or services should be for each of us. It's energizing. It gave me a renewed freshness. Now I have something that I can take away from the preaching, the teaching, and it's working on my mind. It's working in my heart. And what do we find is the effect on Mary and Joseph in very short succession after this? Great sorrow, anxiety. Where's the boy? The meeting's concluded. Here comes the failure. We might think in our own minds, a spiritual mountaintop, when things are going really well, that's when I will be most successful. Good preaching, good teaching, good personal study of the scriptures. It's working a work in my mind and in my heart. I am more prepared now than I ever have been. Nothing can get in my way. When we realize more accurately that every moment of time presents an opportunity of temptation and failure. I don't say that to discourage you, but we need to be careful not to be blinded apart from that opportunity. Every moment can be a moment in which temptation can get us. We can lose the blessing of a great service, and I'm not saying it's this service right now, but any service that is a blessing can be lost before a person even walks through the doors on their exit. That conscious fellowship with the Lord can be lost. It is very fragile and must be maintained. Oftentimes, in Scripture, we find some of the greatest defeats were on the heels of great victories. It's an interesting thing to study and look at. We'll not run the cross references this morning. A person, and I do not say this judgmentally, but a person can backslide easily in church just as easily as they can outside of church. It can happen. It can happen to me just as easily as anyone else. And when will this battle be over? I'm hearing this about temptations and vulnerabilities and weaknesses. When will I stop battling the battle? When we're done with our work here on earth? When we're in glory, we no longer have to give the attention to this maintaining this relationship as we will when we're in glory. Well, that's the timing. It's on the heels of the Passover feast. But notice what it says about Mary and Joseph in the end of verse 43. So they had fulfilled the days of the Passover feast. It's a week-long celebration. And as they returned, that's the timing of it, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Well, what does that speak? That speaks to their ignorance. I do not use that term disparagingly. Someone can call someone else ignorant as a slam, like a fool or a know-nothing or a moron, a stupid person. But ignorance can also simply, because, and the reason those terms would be disparaging is because someone is intentionally ignoring. That's why they are ignorant. Someone can innocently be ignorant, as I have been in my life on many occasions and probably will into the future. I apologize in advance. I missed something. It was on my list. I thought I read the list. I missed it. I'm sorry. I knew I'd remember, but I forgot. Whatever the case here with Joseph and Mary, they did not know that Jesus was missing. I took quite a bit of time just to think about that. One of the things we need to be careful of as we study Scripture is that we don't superimpose, we don't take our current understanding of Scripture, and perhaps it's grown over the years, and read that back into people that were experiencing things for the first time. Specifically, the disciples of Jesus. They were a pretty rough crowd. We understand that to be the case. They were learning things from Jesus for the first time in many instances. We, in our vast understanding of Scripture, having studied this book year after year for many years, we don't want to come back and pour out judgment on the disciples when we realize how little they knew in those early days. Same is true when we're dealing with other folks. I've been saved for many years. I've been studying the Bible for many years. Now I'm very harsh on someone that heard the gospel for the first time. Someone that's never been in a church before, and here I am in critical judgment upon them. Something to keep in mind. But knowing who Jesus was, knowing all of the miraculous events surrounding his birth, even earlier in this very same chapter, would that not have been forefront in Joseph and Mary's thinking, like, protect this child at all costs? I don't know what each person's view is of their own children, but the default setting generally is, don't let anything happen to our kids. You will not want the wrath. My sentiment, and I think it's a shared sentiment. I am not saying that Joseph and Mary did not care for Jesus or that they were grossly negligent, but there was some degree of failure here, and that it took an entire day for them to realize that Jesus was no longer with them. That's what the text says. Verse 44, they, Mary and Joseph, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. See, the key there is they supposing. There are a lot of things in life that we know for a fact, but unfortunately, I think there are many more things that we suppose, and we supposed in error. I just thought that you had that. I thought that you did that. Mary and Joseph, and this is why I don't want to sound critical of them, they had the right heart. They supposed that Jesus was with the company. So their heart was in the right place. Okay, I'm not saying that they completely abandoned him, but they did not verify it. I have often been instructed, and I've tried to implement this, inspect what you expect. Not trying to get silly with any vernacular here, but it's a good policy to have an expectation, now go make it sure. Recently heard from Brother Bach, airplane missions airplane involvement in missions. It's not a glider, and we understood that. And we also heard praise for the Lord's provision for a nice aircraft for the ministry. It runs on fuel. And if and when a pilot supposes that the plane is well stocked with fuel, but does not verify, danger is near. If I assume and suppose our new little fella is buckled in securely to his car seat, and I did not verify, he runs the risk of a shortened life. In parallel, spiritually, many believers, and I don't say this with a critical bone in my body, I say it out of concern, and I'm putting myself in there. Many of us can go a day's journey and never verify that we were in fellowship with the Lord. Conscious fellowship. We can be active. We can participate. But we can avoid walking with Him and be aware of His presence. I hope we never get to the point where we fall into the same danger that it was said of Samson. He wist. He was not aware that the Lord was departed from him. Now, please do not think that I am blending together Mary and Joseph with Samson. Samson was living a very carnal life, and that led him down and down and down. Mary and Joseph, they were just demonstrating faithful observance of the Passover. As they should have been, they did it. They're to be commended. What happened? They supposed. They didn't verify that Jesus was with him. We must never assume, I was raised in this home, I was raised in this church, I was raised with good Bible teaching and preaching from this blessed book here. I suppose the Lord is with me and blessing me in every step. I must walk with Him with effort and intentionality. I must do it intentionally throughout every day. What are some of the reasons for Joseph and Mary returning without Jesus? Because I do believe they should have known. I'm not going to say maybe that Jesus should have remained in the temple and Mary and Joseph should have been sitting and learning from him. But we know that Jesus did nothing wrong. So when I consider that element, I wonder what Joseph and Mary should have been doing, but I believe that they should have verified they had Jesus with them. Well, it says that Jesus, let's see, what verse is that? Well, it began talking about Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Jesus tarried, and we know from further testimony, Jesus was always busy. Well, he says that in verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Wist, or were you not aware of that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was always doing, and he was always being, and he was always in the location of what the Father would have him doing. At all points, at all times. So when I'm trying to reconcile this in my mind, what were Joseph and Mary doing? They were returning home. Jesus tarried, and Jesus always did everything that was right. What should Mary and Joseph have done? Perhaps more than ensured that Jesus was loaded up on the caravan to go back home, perhaps Mary and Joseph should have tarried. That's my conclusion. I'm not going to say it definitively that that's how everyone should understand that. But if that is accurate, then I would say that there is spiritual application, that sometimes on the heel of something of spiritual benefit, I'm ready to get it over with and get back. Get back to what I was doing, get back to another environment. And I just didn't have within my heart the heart to tarry and wait. Wait where? Maybe I'm reading a scripture. And I recommend to folks, more than the quantity of the scripture that you cover in your reading, go for the quality of your reading. You might read a verse and you get hung up on that verse because it is working you over and it is bringing you encouragement and it is put the sails out because the wind is blowing now. That means a lot to me. And you go back to it later in the day because you're meditating upon it. And next day, instead of advancing, you come back to the verse and the Lord is just using it and using it. We do need all of the counsel of the Lord. But sometimes quality goes out the window based on quantity because people are in a hurry. It is our natural tendency. I'm a go person. We tend to go. I have to work harder at slowing down, pacing myself, disciplining myself. I have to certainly discipline myself when I speak, get tripped over all these words that come to mind, these visuals. We want to be careful in our lives that we are never in a hurry and we wait where the Lord would have us wait. Sometimes that comes, it shows itself when we're dealing with people. I really need to go. I really need to do this. But the Lord would have me wait just a minute and help this person or these people. Sometimes He wants me to wait in a location for them to help me. The ultimate waiting is time with the Lord. God would have us spend more time with Him, but there is a natural tendency in every one of us not to spend more time with Him. We don't mind spending more time with fleshly things, entertainment, recreation. Boy, the time flies, doesn't it? I'm doing something I enjoyed. Where did the time go? We're having such a big time. We've certainly seen a lot of growth in our youngest son here recently. Where did the time go? Already. So we're enjoying these days. There are some not so enjoyable elements. There are some not so enjoyable days ahead when now there is a thought process and a speech that might be contrary to the one that is directing them. But I am seeing more and more how the patience of a teacher, a father, a mother, a spiritual influence, spiritual brother, spiritual sister, tarry ye here, wait here, and deal with what needs to be dealt with. I don't know of any other example than to say we often want our cup filled to the brim with what the Lord will give us. But oftentimes we don't want to wait, and maybe you can think of going up to those little dispensers where you fill your own mug. Oftentimes we're in the hurry that we don't even want to get up out of the seat to go get a refill. But I want a full cup. And if I want a full cup, I need to take time. I have to discipline myself to make time. It is impossible to walk closely with the Lord if you are always in a hurry. Well, you don't understand the job I have to do. I understand busy. I may not understand the job that you have. I know what job I have. And when I look at everything I have to do, I don't think I'm going to get it all done when I'm looking from Sunday out across the week. But I'll tell you this. Anytime I thought I could shortchange the Lord because I'm going to save time, it cost me more. Rather than make the Lord your priority, make time for Him, He will make up the time. Because a walk with the Lord, time with Him, requires attention and a heart that is willing to remain in His presence. The simple phrase in the verse that says they returned, I believe that their sentiments were on getting home, returning home. Pretty simple statement. Not a wrong statement. When we go on a journey, there have been many vacations already here by various people, and we hope that they will return. Be a bummer if every trip was a one way. We'd lose our friends, our family. Where'd everybody go? Their minds were on getting back home, perhaps even on their responsibilities that were away from Jerusalem and back at the home place. What I'm emphasizing here is that their concerns, whatever their concerns were in their hearts or on their minds, was not sinful. It was not wrong. They were legitimate concerns. And this is what I would highlight is so dangerous if we're not careful. We can each find ourselves doing what we need to be doing. And it is not sinful and it is not wrong in any way. But these things I was doing still took me away from Christ. In fellowship. Work. My work is more demanding. I just got more assignments. This investigation just became more intense. Now I have to travel for my work. Now I have these things. A new baby's been born. Do you not even have any idea what that requires? I have this. I have this. I think I'm done. Very dangerous. That might be a tempting thought. And if nothing else, I would say that it is possible to be doing what is right and still neglect what is most important. I have to guard against that. We all do. I already mentioned another reason for this was that they supposed. We can never suppose anything about Jesus. This is one element that makes imagination dangerous in preaching and teaching. I do believe there is some room to pair principles and truths and facts together and say, based on all of this criteria, I can see such and such happening or occurring. But if my deceitful heart, which I only know it's that way because I'm told it's that way, and I believe that, starts imagining there's a big gap here in Luke chapter 2 from the time that Jesus is born and the time he's 12 years old, listening and teaching in the temple. And I go into some of this apocrypha. You ever heard what the apocrypha is? And I find out that Jesus was doing some of these miracles as a little youngster. That's some interesting reading. It's a lie. Because it's presenting miracles when John 2 clearly states the first miracle that Jesus did was at the wedding in Cana. I didn't realize. I quickly was going down a path. I was caught up with some of this interesting material, filling in the blanks of little boy Jesus, and I say it respectfully, healing a bird, bringing a bird back from the life. Cool, little boy stuff. But that is not true. I should never suppose anything. I should make certain, and I know what is certain based on what the scriptures say. Just as that pilot needs to ensure the fuel is in the plane. The reason I say it costs, I know this for a fact because it has cost me in my life, and I know that it would cost you in your life. Because we must never take our fellowship with him for granted. We must be certain that we are aware of him, certain that we are acknowledging him and submitted to him. But what are the results? What effect did this have with Mary and Joseph being separated from Jesus? The first element I would say is the time. Verse 44, they, supposing him, Jesus, to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Well, that's not too far. A solid day's journey. I just read you the report from Dr. Q. He covered some miles day after day. What if, this is a silly example, just to keep it light on this example, what if Dr. Q forgot his favorite pillow after that first 1,000 miles? Think he's going to turn around for that? Probably not. But a day's journey is quite a time. You don't need me to explain this because it would be an insult to your intelligence, but just to keep it forefront in our minds in sequence. A day's journey away requires a day's journey to get back, and all that while there is still no Jesus with them. That's not the only element of time here. What else do we see? Verse 46, it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. I never focused on that when I was young. I just thought the caravan started out of Jerusalem, realized that Jesus wasn't there, and they frantically, as soon as they got back in the city limits, they found him. It's not what the text says. It's been some time. We have basically 4 days of lost. I've been involved in search and rescue. One of the worst ones in my memory was when I was fire inspector. There were six of us fire inspectors. Three of us got promoted at the same time, so there was a shared commonality there. And one of those that was promoted with me, Jason Beck, lost his 14-year-old son. You know, I'm from Cleveland County. Broad River runs through Cleveland County. It was at a tremendous flood stage in April. I don't remember the year. 2011, 2012 maybe. Anyway, we find out Jason Beck's son, Nathan's missing. Well, what happened? He, Nathan, and a friend of his, they were teenage boys, tried to cross the river, and it was over 20 feet flood stage. It was a roaring river. The friend made it across, turned around, and there was no Nathan. Naturally, it hits your fire department family, which is a very closely knit group. I know Danny understands that, others do. It's a brotherhood. All of us wanted to leave work and immediately go search, but we could only do it in our off days. We had swift water teams. We had special rescue teams. I was on part of those teams. But I used up some of my time to go search. That was very difficult. Eventually, he was found after the floods receded. They did find him. He passed away. I think he was 14. Very sad time. And I'm not casting any judgment on that, but I'm saying that there are things we do in life and the time flies. We know that to be true. But as I was walking my way through the river banks, and it was still in flood stage, I was able to go the next day. Worried about venomous snakes and ticks and just hacking your way through with a machete trying to find anything that you could. Time. I would keep checking the watch. How much time has transpired? Only 30 seconds since the last time I looked. It felt like an eternity. Why? Because we wanted to find something, but we didn't want to find something. I'm not trying to belabor that point, but oftentimes in life, we think that we're too busy to spend time with the Lord and that we're going to save time. I'm not trying to say that Joseph and Mary thought this exact thought, but they were ready to get back home. Jerusalem duties were done. And how many days has their time away from home now extended? We now have 4 more days. I would say this: neglecting fellowship with Jesus Christ never makes life more efficient. It will always cost you more. It cost them time. What else did it cost them? Let me find where it is. Okay, I didn't write this down, but verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." That word for sorrowing is not just a little tear forcing its way out of the ear, kind of like perhaps we men, and maybe you're one of those men, I don't cry. I'm kind of one of those men, but there are some things, it just touched me. This word for sorrowing is very strong. It means anguish and torment and deep distress. Again, Mary and Joseph had individual hearts, but they also had a unified heart together, and it was in the right place. They loved Jesus. They cared for Jesus. They were not mildly concerned that he's missing. They were deeply troubled. Anytime that we go without fellowship with Christ, we will lose our peace. We will lose clarity, and we will lose our spiritual strength. If we consciously choose, "I don't need the Lord, I'll handle this," I am making a conscious choice toward sorrow. Wasted time. Things that very much run in parallel here. Let's go back to that first day's journey. Mary and Joseph leaving Jerusalem. Every thought along the way, because they supposed that Jesus is in the company, somewhere in the company with others, kinsfolk, acquaintances. They thought, in their perception, they're making progress. We'll be home soon. But they weren't. That's what they may have thought. And I would tell you that there is a very direct parallel in spiritual things. I went to church on Sunday, so did all my brothers and sisters. I'm doing great. I'm making progress. But I'll tell you something, out of a heart of concern, not judgment, we're not making any progress. Why? Because I left the Lord out of it. I had this checkbox. I need to be in attendance. I had to do this. I had to put on my Christian face, my Christian clothes. I had to do all of these things. And I did them. See all the check marks? And not a one of those elements had to do with, did you seek the Lord's guidance? Did you ask Him? Did you let Him know how you were feeling today? Have you sensed from Him how He would have you feeling today? See, spiritual neglect conceals and it kind of hides the cost until it becomes obvious. That's why I'm putting this out as an encouraging warning. Finally, we see the return and the finding, verses 45 and 46. And when they found him not, again, going back to this one day's journey, at that point in time, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, that's the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. When was it they turned around? When they found him not. The moment of realization, maybe they called his name, maybe they asked a question, no answer. Maybe they just inquired about him. How's Jesus doing? Has he had his lunch yet? Done this, done that? He's just a 12-year-old boy, a lad. Whenever that moment was that they discovered he's not with us, they immediately went to returning. This is a rhetorical question because this is a preaching service. Naturally, I get into Sunday school mode. But a thought. The moments that I have gone through my day and realized I haven't even prayed today. Did I brush past it and keep going throughout my day still never having prayed? I have. I say that almost embarrassingly, but I'm just being honest with you. But there are other times I realized I started into my day. I'm an hour into my day that the Lord gave me. How can I rejoice in the day that the Lord gave me if I didn't even recognize him yet? I recognize everybody else. Hey, good morning. How are you doing today? Everybody sleep well? How do you feel today? You good? What's on the agenda for today? Never even checked in with the Lord. They went back the moment they relayed. They didn't justify anything. They just went back seeking him. When we realize that our individual fellowship with Jesus Christ is not what it should be, the answer and the resolution is simple. Turn back. Get back. They sought him. That is not a casualness. That may not even be a real word. I don't even know. It was not casual in its approach. It was intentional. It was persistent. It had an aggressive seeking. They were not looking out of convenience. They were looking for their son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he? And if my fellowship with the Lord breaks for one reason or 100 other reasons, and the fault is always mine, it's never his, I will never accidentally fall back into good fellowship. Rather, it will take intentional steps to return. When did they find Jesus? Verse 46 tells us it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Not having read the scriptures before, my first time through, I might have thought, oh, he's right where we left him. Don't you hate it when you lose something and someone asks you, well, where was the last place you left it? If I knew that, I probably would have found it. Anyway, I don't mean that sarcastically if you ever ask me that and I tell you my woes that I lost something, but naturally the object or the person is where it last was. But they didn't find him immediately. It was after 3 days. And I want to be careful with this, that it's not misunderstood. But we deal with a lot of broken things in this life because it's a cursed life. Let me say that. It's a cursed earth. We do not have a cursed life if we are saved. Let me be clear. But because we live our life on this cursed earth, we deal with a lot of broken things. Many of those broken things are broken people. Broken relationships, broken this, broken that. And I don't want to say that sensitively so that I'm not hurting anyone. We all have that brokenness. There's hope for restoration. Thankful for that. Restoration takes time in many, many situations. This is why you will want the people in your life to be patient. I want people to be patient with me because if I'm the one that broke what was had and now there's restoration, it requires patience to build back and restore. It takes patience to build. Thankful I have my parents here. As I've relayed an example on many occasions, my dad has served a long life of construction. And I enjoyed demo day with him far more than I enjoyed construction. Why? Because it didn't take excessive amount of skill for demo day. Just let it have it. Let the tool do its job. Smash it, break it down. But I was not a great asset to my father. I'm sorry, Dad. To his craftsmanship and building things, precise cuts, just the work that he has done all these years. Because he put the time and effort. He had the patience that I didn't have and probably still don't have. That's why I'm not in construction. The time and intention that goes into that. And much more importantly, spiritually, have I ever thought about building a spiritual life? I'm pretty good at demo day. You have that wrong in your life. Get that fixed. What's wrong with you? Were you not raised in church? You don't read the Bible? Demo day is too easy. It's not what we need. We need builders. Where did they find Jesus? Came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Jesus was not in the crowd. Probably doesn't need stating, but he was not kidnapped. He was in the temple. He was in a place where God is honored, where truth is presented, it's taught, and where worship occurred. If we want to walk with the Lord as we ought to, that's the crux of this message, we need to meet him where he is found. It's through his word. It's in prayer. And it will be in our lives when we are in the proper fear of the Lord. Joseph and Mary did not separate from Jesus because they were rebellious. They were not. I commend their hearts. But they supposed that resulted in neglect. They were in a hurry, perhaps, busy with concerns, the carelessness of an assumption. And they lost time, they experienced sorrow, and part of the loss was hidden from them. They didn't know the loss until they increased in more. I believe we would do well to ask ourselves this morning, have I been in a hurry? Have I been too busy? Have I ever fallen prey to assuming that I'm in good communion? That's what communion is. I know we may refer to the Lord's Supper as communion, but that is a representation of communion. C-O-M means with. Union being one, not separate things. I am one with the Lord in thought, in sentiment, in wisdom, in truth. I'm one with him in everything that he wants for me and for you. This is never about whether Jesus leaves us. Let me be clear. He has promised, and his promises are always true. He will never leave us. Never. But the emphasis is on whether or not I will leave him, even for a moment. We must walk with him, conscious of his presence, where we go, what we do, submitted to him, and live in the fear of the Lord throughout every day. So what does it mean to walk with the Lord? We hear that phrase often. I use it, others use it. To walk with the Lord is to live in conscious fellowship with him, through his word, in prayer, in obedience, meditating on him and his truth throughout the day. It is to live in the fear of the Lord, always aware of his presence, submitted to his will in everything that we do throughout the day. We can be religious. We can be very active. We can be busy. And yet we can so easily go a day's journey without Jesus. I just want to encourage you, encourage myself, make certain that we are always walking with him. So much grief and sorrow would have been avoided if every decision would have focused, Lord, what would you have me do right here? Big things, little things, doesn't matter. Everything, in everything give thanks. Well, who am I thanking? From whom all blessings flow. The Lord hath daily loadeth us with all benefits. Anyway, we need to pray. I hope something in there was helpful to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your words. Help us to understand the message, the principles that you intend for us to extract from them. And I trust that what was said was accurate and helpful in line with what was being showed in Scripture, Lord. Mary and Joseph were phenomenal people. Never intending to speak disparagingly of them. They were your servants. However, they were human servants. And we're thankful for the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for desiring to spend time with us. Help us in our desire to take care of that relationship with you, never breaking fellowship, but just maintaining it. Pray that you'll bless as we close out the service today. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.